It has been. I mean, you look at the year that RG3 played there, the playoff game was painted dirt. The playoff game against the Seahawks that year, that was strictly green painted dirt. It was awful. You know, there's been other teams who have come in there and said that field is one of the worst fields in the league. Last year, it was one of the better fields in the league, but they completely dug it up and relaid an entire new drainage system and then put in a new heating system and then rethought it, the entire field, the entire stadium. So, can you do that every year? You most certainly could. But if you would just invest in some field turf, you're okay. Field turf plays just like grass.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I actually think that Washington really, I think that they kind of want to move out of Washington.
I don't know if, they're not in Washington now. The new stadium is in Maryland. Or not the new stadium, the current stadium is in Maryland.
Right.
I don't know if he wants to be out of Washington or not. I know Washington had an issue with the name, and now that the name has changed, they want them back. Maybe that's what he's looking at as far as, okay, I don't want to go back there because they wouldn't take us back when we were Redskins, but now they'll take us back as as the Commanders type thing. So maybe that could be a motivating factor for him. I know he's looked at Virginia. I know he's looked at he's looked at Maryland. So we'll see. I don't see that team having a new stadium before 2025 anyways.
The thing is that with the way that the culture is around the NFL, I don't know that Dan Snyder will even be the owner of the Washington Commanders come 2025. I think that if he is, he's going to remain a silent, I guess you could say, a silent owner or a silent individual. I don't see Dan Snyder as the owner of the Commanders, and I really don't see Stephen Ross as the owner of the Dolphins for very much longer. I think that I think they're both going to be forced out.
I mean, to an extent, I can see that. I can also see him selling it, quote unquote, selling it to his wife.
I can see that too, but everybody and their brother is going to know that that's nothing more than just for show.
Well, I mean, you could see him, you know, offering to sell it to his wife, but in hindsight, would the owners then approve it? Would they approve the sale? And
no,
I don't think they would.
No, I think that if he's going to sell it and for the owners to do it or to approve it, he's going to have to sell the majority of the team and everything. And I think that's where he will try to stay as part of the ownership group, but in a very small capacity. But the other side to that is does he even want Dan Snyder even as a minority owner? And you know, and like I said, I think that they're working on forcing him out of the NFL.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think they're trying to figure out a way to get him out.
Now, for my next question to you, and it actually has to do with the Indianapolis Colts. Do you think that Indy is going to make a run at a younger quarterback, even though they signed Matt Ryan?
So Jim Irsay said that after the Carson Wentz trade to Washington, they were working a deal for a younger quarterback.
That deal would have cost them
two number ones at minimum.
See, I just want to know if that younger quarterback that they were working on a deal for was Deshaun Watson, because he's the only young quarterback that I can even think of where you could realistically look and say, okay, I want two number ones for this guy.
So regarding that, I know they offered Houston a deal and Houston immediately shot it down.
Well, yeah, because they're in the same division.
Correct. And they told Houston, that's exactly what they told Indy, is they were not going to trade him in the division. So I don't know, because at that, when I heard that they had offered Houston a deal, that was before they even traded Carson Wentz. So,
well, because the only other young quarterback that is out there, and see, the thing is I think that the Carson Wentz trade was, I think the Carson Wentz trade was done before Deshaun went to Cleveland, and that would be Baker Mayfield. And the thing is that Baker Mayfield, even though, don't get me wrong, I like the guy, I like his heart and everything like that. Everybody says he's acting childish. Well, what you call childish or whatever is what he did on the field and everything. And you know what? There's plenty of other quarterbacks before him that did that. So for you to call that childish and everything, that's just, I don't know. It just
so happened to play for Cleveland too.
Well, you know, the thing is that Baker Mayfield, I think that he will be okay in another system. What system that is, I have no idea. He could be a fit for the Colts, but after the Colts taking on that Matt Ryan contract, I don't really think that they have the space to take on a Baker Mayfield contract. And even if they did, do you really want to take on that type of contract for the next 2 to 3 years, and or for the next year, and then have to re-sign Mayfield for another 2, 3, 4 years, and then after Matt Ryan retires, look and see what you have with Mayfield and everything? And the thing is, you know, I don't think Mayfield stays with a team if he's going to be a backup.
I don't think Baker goes anywhere if he's going to be a backup. Baker goes somewhere that he wants to start. That's why to me, the only place Baker can go is Seattle.
No, I disagree with that. Because I think Detroit.
I still think Matt Campbell wants to. I think Matt Campbell believes he can win with Jared Goff.
I mean, it was a nice fantasy, but we all sit here and watch the same games last year, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just making sure. And here's the other caveat to that. If you really think you can win with Jared Goff, then if you think that is the route that you're going to go, don't you spend your off season finding the right parts or the right pieces to maybe strengthen up that offensive line, because I haven't seen no movement really out of the Lions on anything.
True.
So
I mean,
we talk bad about
Jared Goff. Sean McVay went to a Super Bowl with Jared Goff.
Okay. But Sean McVay just won the Super Bowl with Matt Stafford.
Correct. He did.
So
Matt Stafford is a better quarterback than Jared Goff. We all know that.
Well, yeah. I mean, it just so happens that he wasted away in Detroit.
Correct.
For however many years. Because here's the thing. Matt Stafford gets drafted by another team. Matt Stafford is at least in the playoffs a couple of times. You put Matt Stafford on a Chicago team. You even put Matt Stafford on a Minnesota team. And they're in the playoffs a couple of times. Because
he took the Lions to the playoffs. We can't say that he didn't take the Lions to the playoffs. He took the Lions to the playoffs twice.
He did.
But the fact is that the bigger issue is Detroit never built around Matt Stafford.
Well, no.
They gave him Megatron. That's it.
Right. And after Megatron retired, what did they do to replace him?
Nothing.
Exactly. Here is the thing, and this is switching gears a little bit. This is kind of what I look at Green Bay doing with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, now the offseason is not done yet. Okay. So, I mean, you know, there's still a lot of movement that can be made. But when you take away a receiver like that from the quarterback and you expect the quarterback to go out and perform the same way he did, that's unrealistic. And this is where I hope Green Bay does not make that crucial mistake and goes another way with what's left of free agency and in the draft. Because if you expect Aaron Rodgers to go out there and perform like he has in the past without a number one target, you're funny. The same way Detroit did with Matt Stafford. They expected Matt Stafford to be that guy, and he can't be that guy if he doesn't have somebody to throw the ball to. And he did last year in Los Angeles. So
I don't agree with you.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I mean, it's okay to be wrong every once in a while.
I think Rodgers will be perfectly fine without Devontae Adams.
Yeah. About that. Yeah, he will be fine if they get him another number one receiver.
And I say that because go look at the Packers' record without Devontae Adams.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty good.
And Adams
Rodgers will
them.
Have
Adams missed some
Rodgers
games too.
He missed the football.
Yeah, he did.
So, and they were fine with. I mean, they don't have. I think the bigger loss is going to be MVS. I think MVS could have become more of the number one receiver in that offense with Adams being gone. And now with MVS being gone, now you have to rely on Lazard and guys of lesser. That I think hurts more. That I think hurts more than losing Devontae Adams to Rodgers. I think losing MVS hurts more than losing Devontae.
Well, now you just sort of kind of just made my point. Because when you start taking away targets, the quarterback cannot be the same as he was. So now you're relying on almost a receiver by committee type thing. And I mean that it can work to a certain extent, but if you don't have that number one target or those two top targets that you can go to, now all of a sudden you're looking at dump passes, you're looking at maybe a couple of shots down the field, and we all know that's where Aaron Rodgers' bread and butter is the shots down the field. And now you have got to put a receiver there that can go out, that can run the routes, that can be that guy that can get down there into the red zone, into the end zone, that can make those 20, 30, and 40-yard what I call bread and butter passes that Aaron Rodgers puts up. Okay, Aaron Rodgers can put the ball in there. We've seen it a million times. But just because he can put the ball in there, if you don't have that receiver that can catch those balls, he can sit there and throw all day. But if he doesn't have the receiver to catch the ball, that pass means absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I mean, yes, you're right. I just think Aaron Rodgers is...
If Aaron Rodgers does not have that number one receiver going down the field, you cannot expect him to be like he was.
I don't know.
Hey, it's okay to disagree with me and everything and all that. But you can't say that there's not merit to what I just said.
No, and I'm not saying there's not merit. Every quarterback, we can say that with every quarterback if they don't have that guy, quote unquote. I just don't think, for me, I don't think Rodgers is going to miss Devontae Adams as much as people think. I think he knew that they were trying to trade Adams before he even signed his extension. So, you know, that didn't stop him from not coming back to Green Bay. Like I said, I just don't think that the loss of that receiver will hurt him as much. The bigger loss is MVS. I think MVS would have been a solid number 2A type kind of guy. I don't know if they really have a true number one right now, but I think MVS...
I don't think they do.
I think MVS could have... been a bigger pl- played a bigger role for Rodgers if he would have stayed.
Right. And I don't disagree with that, because I think that he would have been the next logical choice. Now you're looking forward, you're looking ahead, as you have to do, because what's done is done. Now you still have Odell Beckham that is out there, but you also have a lot of receiving on receiver needy teams that could be jumping at him too, because it's even come out that he's even talked about going back to Cleveland and playing with Deshaun Watson. The return to LA is always possible. There's a lot there. I don't think that Green Bay needs to sit back and say, oh, well, we think everything is going to be fine and all that, and that we're running with what we have. If you don't do something in the offseason, then you need to go and you need to grab a Drake London out of USC in the draft. The guy from Ohio State. To ignore the fact that you just lost your top two receivers and everything, I think that would be a very, very bad mistake. And really and honestly, looking at the Packers roster right now, I have to admit to you, I don't know that they win the NFC North.
Who's going to beat them?
Who's going to beat them? Minnesota. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
What?
If Cousins gets hurt. I give you the understanding that Minnesota has made some changes. They've done some good things on defense. The signing of Za'Darius Smith.
Yes, absolutely.
And things like that. But they will not win the North with who's under center.
Really?
They can't. They can't win the North with... He is not a big-time quarterback. He is not worthy of $200 million in his career. He is not...
No, I will give you that. He hasn't been worth the contracts that he has been given, but the guy puts up the numbers.
Numbers don't win games.
No, defenses do. And they didn't have a defense last year.
Well, they haven't had a defense for a few years.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Kirk Cousins can't go out there and play defense. I'm sorry, last year, that's not on Cousins. You can say what you want, but Cousins did his part. Cousins put the points on the board. He can't sit there and, you know, and put the points on the board and then go out and play defensive back or linebacker and stuff like that. So at some point in time, you know, you've got to look at, you've got to look at the other side. Well, Cousins is putting 30 and 40 points a game. Why are they losing? Well, their defense wasn't stopping. So, I mean, I have to disagree with you. I think with the right defense, I think Minnesota can win the NFC North. I really do. And honestly, I'll even put it to you this way. I won't be a bit surprised if they don't go defense with their first three picks. I will be very surprised.
Debo sleeping?
Mm-mm. No. Somebody okay. Breathing hard.
He got quiet.
Well, we know William not sleep because he's talking. So
and I heard whistling. So I was like,
nope. I'm not sleep. Nope. No. I'm listening to you guys. I'm doing some stuff on the computer. So you guys got it. I'm just a listener tonight.
Oh, you're just a listener tonight. Okay. So Boss Hawk, in your professional opinion, we talked about this a little bit last night when I gave you my top five picks, and then I brought up a quarterback, and I said that I could see him going to Carolina. Now you immediately shot that down. Why is that?
I don't think Matt Rule takes a quarterback. That's why that is.
Hmm. I mean, do you think he is really happy with Sam Darnold? I mean, he has a relationship with Pickett. And let's face it, he's probably going to be sitting there at six.
I mean, yes, I think he'd be there at six. And yes, he has a relationship with Pickett.
Well, you know, I look at the situation. I don't know that Matt Rule was exactly that happy with Sam Darnold. I think he was expecting something else when they got Darnold. And I think that Pickett sitting there at six, I think that that's going to be a little too enticing to pass up. Now, I could see them passing on that and going like offensive line, or something along those lines. But by the same token, I don't know that Matt Rhule believes that Sam Darnold is the quarterback, is the franchise quarterback. And I think that's what he is looking for.
I don't think I still think they'd make a trade.
You know, I've kind of thought about that too, because I mean you do have multiple teams that are sitting there at the bottom of the draft that may want to leap over each other to grab whatever player. I mean, you have Green Bay that's sitting down there with two number one picks. You have Seattle that has two number one picks. You have
the Giants have two number one picks.
Yeah.
There's multiple teams that have two number one picks. And I still think Carolina makes a trade. I even think... Carolina, you know, could be sitting on Jimmy G. I mean...
Although I
keep seeing reports that he's gonna, the likelihood of him being back in San Francisco is increasing on the daily. That's an expensive backup, though.
That's a really expensive backup. I mean,
I don't think he's gonna back up. I think he's gonna start.
Well, I mean,
he could, depending upon his, you know, how he recovers from his shoulder surgery, he very well could start in San Francisco again this year, and you give Trey Lance another year. If I was Matt Rhule in Carolina, if I'm not sold on Sam Darnold, which doesn't sound like they are.
No, it really doesn't.
I would inquire about Jimmy G. The shoulder surgery, everybody, I think, has thrown Jimmy G's trade value down the toilet. And I think that's why, unfortunately, that's why Ron Rivera didn't go after him.
Well, you know, the thing is that we've seen good quarterbacks go go out for shoulder surgery, then come back and teams sit there and they pass on that QB, and the first one that comes to mind is Drew Brees. He had shoulder surgery, and then when he came back, everybody just kind of steered clear of him, and then he goes and he signs up with the Saints and winds up taking the Saints to how many consecutive playoffs? Almost every year he was there. So how many people were kicking themselves for not taking a shot on Drew Brees?
Miami.
And definitely. Because you put Drew Brees in some of those Miami offenses, and I'm not so sure that Miami's not in at least one or two Super Bowls. I don't know if they win, but I think they're there.
They're definitely not the cellar dweller team that they have been.
No, no, not by any means of the word. And, you know, I was talking to my friend who is a diehard Dolphins fan, season ticket holder, and I was asking her about the whole Tyreek Hill thing. And she goes, I'm just going to sum it up. She goes, Tua is not going to have any excuses for not having a good year this year. And, you know, and I almost have to agree with her. The only thing that I think that keeps me from completely agreeing with her is the fact that, yeah, they did get Armstead from the Saints. But that offensive line is nowhere near complete.
That offensive line was not that bad, though.
It wasn't that bad, but it wasn't that good. I mean, you know, I think that the excuses for Tua, especially after this next year, will be slim to none. I mean, the only excuse you could possibly make, and even then, I don't know if it's even a good excuse, but it's the fact that they have a new head coach, new offensive system, yada, yada, yada. I mean, I guess you could make that excuse. Oh, so that buys you maybe another year. But by the same token, if somehow the Dolphins make a deal for Tom Brady, and Tom Brady goes to Miami, and let's just say he doesn't take them all the way to the Super Bowl, but he at least takes them to the playoffs. And then he decides, well, you know what? I'm done, et cetera, et cetera. And then Tua comes back in, and he doesn't do anything with them, I then think that the excuses for Tua are out. And I really think that after this season, if he doesn't do good, I don't know that he comes back for another season. I mean, if he does, okay, I could see it. But after that, then what is your excuses for him? Because it just doesn't seem like he's getting it.
I think Mike McDaniel has 1 year with Tua, and if Tua doesn't respond, Tua's out of there.
So now the question now goes to, now you're right back to the drawing board with, okay, who is going to be your franchise QB? Because who do you even see coming out next year that can hold that title?
I haven't looked at next year's QBs, but everybody said this year's class was going to suck, and we've got possibly three guys going in the first round again.
I actually have three going in the first round.
Yeah. So, I mean,
And, I mean, they're probably not to the teams you think, but I do have three going in the first round.
Fair enough.
Well, I mean, I already told you that I feel that Pickett will be going to Carolina, and I think that Seattle could actually surprise a lot of people and take Malik Willis with one of their first-round picks. And the third one was actually to Detroit. I think Detroit could use their final pick in the first round to take Matt Corral.
I don't know. I mean, I could see that, especially because Detroit is fielding calls at number two, so I could see them not picking at two.
Well, the thing is that especially if a Seattle or a New York Giants or a Green Bay decides that they want to move up for whatever reason, and now you're the Lions and you ask for their two number one picks this year, and then whatever other King's ransom you want to throw in there and everything, and now all of a sudden you have three number one picks. And I mean, okay, yeah, you say that you can that you can win with Jared Goff, but if you have a Matt Corral sitting there, or you have a Malik Willis sitting there, or a Kenny Pickett, don't you at least have to kick the tires?
Do you? I don't know.
Just like...
If you're Detroit, do you, though? Because you need so much more.
You do need more, but if you don't have the right QB in position, then that more is just going to be an additive. It's not really going to be the make or break. Now, I could be completely wrong. You know, maybe all Jared Goff needs is a couple of receivers. And there's a couple of receivers that I could see going in the first round. But here's the thing. If you trade down, I think I have like three, maybe four receivers going in the first round. I don't know. My mock draft is sitting over there by my computer.
That's well below your average.
You know what, Boss Hog? Bite me.
I mean, you took seven and 7 or 8 in 14 rounds last year. You're only taking 3 in 32 picks. That's well below your average.
Yeah, well, maybe I learned from my mistakes. But, I see London going in the first round. I see Wilson going in the first round. I also could see Burks going in the first round also. Dotson from Penn State, he is another one that I believe I have going in the first round. Now, I also had the receiver from North Dakota State going in the first round, but I don't know. I don't know if he does or not. If he does, it's going to be in the last 2 or 3 picks of the first round. So, I don't have him going in the first round. I actually have him going in the top of the second round. But, no, as far as receivers go, I have 4 going in the first round, and I have about 5 or 6 going in the second. Because I do think that the receiver needy team, really, you don't say.
Sorry, I hit something off.
I can see Detroit taking a receiver, but I don't think that they take it. If they don't trade down from 2, I do think that they take the guy from Georgia, Walker. I do think that they take him at number 2. And if they don't, I'll be very surprised.
You know, I have seen some drafts that have seen Trayvon Walker jump Aiden Hutchinson.
You know, if Jacksonville shocks the world and takes Walker number 1, Hutchinson, without a doubt, is the second pick. If Aiden Hutchinson fell out of the top 3, I would be shocked. Because your top 3 is Jacksonville, Detroit, and Houston. All of them need defense. And I'm sorry, I just, with everything that they just did in the offseason with their offense and everything, to me, that sent a signal that they are going to be working heavy on their defense in the draft. Walker and Hutchinson are the 2 top guys, but I'm sorry, I think Hutchinson has a slight edge over Walker.
hope so.
I mean, I just. Let me ask you something. Is it possible that Jacksonville could trade out of the number one spot?
Anything's possible, but I'm going to say no. Unless they receive a king's ransom for that, because somebody really wants one of those two defensive pass rushers, there's no way that they don't take one of those two guys.
I mean, because, you know, Detroit could really want Aiden Hutchinson, and they could jump up to the number one spot to take Hutchinson. I don't know what that type of ransom would inquire, but I would say at least a first and second round pick.
You're only moving one spot, so it's not going to cost. Yes, it's the number one overall pick, but the number one overall pick and the number two overall pick are 1A and 1B. It's not going to cost you a king's ransom.
Right.
To jump one. To go one.
Well, and that's why I say a first and second or a first and third round pick would get it. But, I mean, you would have to really be sold that Jacksonville is going to take Hutchinson number one, and you really want Hutchinson. And, I mean, and I think that that's the only way that Detroit moves up. Now the other teams like Seattle, like Green Bay, that have or even the Giants. I mean, all these teams that have the multiple first round picks and everything. I don't know that especially with as low as they are. With like the Packers and,
I guess Seattle is kind of up there, but
they're at nine.
So maybe two number one picks get you up to that top spot, but again, with Seattle, I mean, I really don't know with these other teams if a pass rush is really at the top of their needs list. Now, somebody that does need a pass rush, like a Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or even Houston. I mean, Houston could. I mean, I don't think Tampa has the capital to move up to the number one spot, and plus they have way too many needs.
That would be something that Jason Light would do.
If Jason Light somehow pulled it off, and we got Hutchinson, I would take back every bad thing I ever said about him.
I wouldn't.
I would.
You're sitting in the late 20s.
Yeah, 27, I think.
Yeah. Do you know what you have to mortgage to go to number one from that far down?
At go least for number go, one picks.
Go find a draft. Go find a draft. The draft chart thing that they use, the points chart, and see if you can figure out a good deal that would take you from 27 to 1.
There is no good deal.
There is no good deal. So how can you sit here and say that if he pulled it off, and just because he drafted Aiden Hutchinson doesn't mean that Aiden Hutchinson is the next J.J. Watt. So you...
Yeah,
you
could, but
No. You just said you don't interrupt me. You just said that if he somehow pulled this off and drafted Aiden Hutchinson, that you would take back every bad thing you said about him.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
You have lost your ever-loving damn mind.
No, because that means that he's actually doing something.
He's giving up your future. It is,
you know.
It is Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen all over again with RG3.
Yeah, see, and here's the caveat to that I was going to put on that. It would have to be a good deal. And
oh my Lord.
Give
there
it up.
No
it, I mean, there, it,
dude, you gotta go sleep on this. We can't have this conversation right now.
Sure we can't.
No, it's not. I can't.
I just don't want to see him giving up three number one picks. Or four number one picks, or something like that. And I know that that's what that would take. So that's why I said if he can pull it off, which I know he couldn't, because the price to move up to get a pass rusher like that would be too costly. You're absolutely right. But that is also why I said what I said.
But see, because that what you saying what you said is the whole reason for the argument. You cannot, because he pulled it off, you cannot take back every bad thing you've ever said about this man. Because he pulled off this deal. Him pulling off this deal is more stupid than anything he has ever done in the past.
No, I completely disagree.
I 1,000%
disagree, because I'm sorry. Nobody takes a kicker in the second round.
Oh, Jesus. Debo, we gotta go.
Okay, and ladies and gentlemen,
I'm just saying, you're saying moving up to get a pass rush is dumber than taking a kicker in the second round. Come on now.
Come on,
not moving up.
Be realistic.
Come on,
I am.
Come on.
No, you're not. You said that
Jesus.
If he moved up to number one, if he moved up to number one to take Aiden Hutchinson,
that would be the dumbest thing he ever did. And that is not even close.
It is dumber than taking a kicker in the second round.
Oh my gosh, you are Dan Snyder. Wow.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for us tonight. We appreciate everybody tuning in.
Boss Hogg, you missing all these shows. Has it really affected your judgment that much? Wow.
Appreciate everybody tuning in. Well, we will catch you guys Sunday night here live. Rat Pack Sports Show live, Rat Pack Radio.
Stay away from the weed stores, Boss Hogg. Oh, my gosh. Oh. I understand it's legal out there and everything, but good Lord. Don't worry, gummies for you.
We're going to get out of here before it gets out of hand.
I'm going to bed.
We appreciate y'all, man. We will see y'all next week. This is Rat Pack Sports Show.
Going to bed right after you spoke that bowl, huh?
We are signing out for the night, man. We out of here. Peace.